Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. Before they started growing hemp, Sunset Lake Farms produced cream for Ben & Jerry's. Sunset Lake CBD doesn't use any pesticides or herbicides to grow any of its hemp plants, and they use organic fertilizer and other sustainable farming techniques to ensure the long-term health of the soil and to minimize their carbon footprint. So like all of us, my days are really stressful. By the end of the night, my kids are in bed, I'm taking a minute to chill, but I'm still unwinding. I recently started using the Relax Gummies infused with CBD isolate, reishi mushroom extract, and ashwagandha root extract. I'm really glad I tried these because they really helped me get ready for a good night of sleep, and I really think I sleep better, so I'd highly recommend it. So check out Sunset Lake CBD today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code HFPOD for 20% off your order. That's sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code HFPOD for 20% off your order. Farmer owned, Vermont grown, Sunset Lake CBD.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Osiris.
Hey everybody, this is a special episode of the Helping Friendly Podcast. We are in between episodes, and if you have been following our 40 for 40 series, we will pick that back up on Sunday. We're going to actually do that live on Sunday morning at 10, and we'll be hopping into 2012. But in the meantime, I wanted to bring you a conversation with three musicians who I really love. And I hope and assume that everyone loves them as well. I'm here with Scott Metzger, Ray Pachkowski, and Russ Lawton. And I'm going to introduce those guys in just a second. You might be saying, why are you doing this on HFPod? Well, first of all, these guys have a tour coming up, and they're going to tell us about a lot of music. And so that's fun, I think, for all music fans. Also, they all have connections to the Phish universe in different ways, but we'll get into some of that. But thank you, Scott, Ray, Russ, for joining. As far as I can tell, we have a LAMP tour coming up. I think, when's the last? So I know that the dates are starting this in early November. When's the last time you guys did a tour, you know, more than like a couple shows? Was it when you released the album?
No, but we didn't do much when we released the album, because that was sort of deep lockdown.
COVID. That was COVID, era. Right.
Yeah. But since then, we've done a small smattering of shows, but not many. I think we did one weekend where we did two or three shows, and then maybe another weekend where we did two shows. But as far as like a proper tour, does that sound, that sounds about right?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yep.
And so you got 12.
As far as a proper touring thing, you know, this is kind of our maiden voyage.
That's awesome. There's 12 shows. I'll link to the Jambase article where all the tour dates are listed out. But you guys are starting at Garcia's on Halloween and then going to Portsmouth and Burlington and Massachusetts, Connecticut, coming down here to Ardmore, DC, Charlottesville, Asbury Park, and then Amherst, Mass, with a little break in between there. But this is like, you guys are hitting a lot of spots, and I love that. Tell me quickly just what's going on with the music, because the record you guys made, I think, is awesome. I still listen to it all the time. I love the vibe that the three of you bring together. Have you been writing new stuff? Is there new stuff coming? Like, where are we musically?
Well, we've been basically just sharing ideas, you know, sort of online kind of stuff. And I'm going to be really interested to see what comes out of that, because a lot of it's just going to happen on the stage. And so, you know, the ideas for tunes and just rhythmic ideas, Russ will come up with a groove, and then Scott will be like, oh, here's this little riff or whatever. And then I come in last. because I'm lazy. but I don't know. We'll see what happens. What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, I think the same thing. You know, I mean, we've been shooting around ideas the same way that we wrote the first record, actually. You know, someone will, you know, usually it starts with Russ's drum beat. He'll send around a beat and, you know, we'll throw down a few harmonic ideas on top of it. Somebody will come up with a melody and we'll kind of keep sending the files back and forth. Cause I'm the black sheep of the group. I'm the only guy that doesn't live up in Vermont. So, you know, that making 7 hour, it could change. It was in the fine print when we did the tour. Yeah. And so, you know, driving 7 hours to do a rehearsal is a little extreme. So, instead we do this piecing it together thing, remotely writing tunes, with one another. And then, like I said, when we get together at a gig, we'll start running stuff to sound check and flushing it out and see how it feels in real life. And some of them become tunes and some of them don't.
Yeah. Am I understanding this right? That like the decisions about whether some of these will become songs will happen sound check of that first show.
Some of it. Yeah, sure.
Awesome.
I think so. Yeah.
That
is so
great.
And
I'm sure some will develop over the course of, you know, multiple sound checks. And by the end of the run, you know, we'll have some new stuff that we've massaged into place.
I guess one other question I had just about the tour, are you guys thinking about, do you approach these shows in a kind of song-based way or more in an improv way? Because it seems like it's sort of in between, or maybe you don't even think about it in those terms.
Well, I would say, I mean, we have basically, I guess you'd call it a song list, you know, a bunch of material that we feel comfortable doing as a starting point. But then in the song, you know, in each piece, pretty much anything, well, some more than others, but anything can happen. It can kind of go anywhere. So a lot of the improv, well, all the improvisation happens within sort of a framework of an arrangement, I guess you would say. I would say. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
Russ, how do you approach that?
Same way. I mean, Ray and I have been doing that for a long time together, too. But you get a song, you know, one of those songs, and instead of just going for the exact arrangement, one section will like this, we'll just keep, you know, we'll keep going on it and stuff. We'll just look at each other and, you know, stretch it out. And then ready to get out of it, we'll get out of it. So.
Yeah.
Wide open.
And that's a big,
to keep it wide open.
That's a big thing with this band is the connection that Russ and Ray have. I mean, Matt, they make it very easy for me to sound good because these guys have such a connection. You know, when musicians play together for that many hours, as many hours as these guys have and have been through so many, you know, just life things together as these guys have, there's a thing that happens with musicians that you can't, it just can't happen any other way. You know, you can't fake it. And you know it, everybody knows it as soon as they hear it. Everybody can just feel, oh, this is special. And these two guys have that in spades. And I think for me as the non-Vermont guy, it makes it very fun to come in. Cause I have just as much fun listening to what these two guys are doing in their connection as I do with playing the tunes in real time. And it just keeps it really, really fresh and new feeling.
So we're basically just auditioning you? Is that
what? This is one big audition. I'm still waiting, you know. I'm still hoping that this
is
going to
get the gig. Oh, you can join the club. You can join the club.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, that's right.
I love that perspective, though. It's awesome. I got to say, and I know... Ray and Russ, I'll see you guys in a couple weeks at the Stone Pony. You two are playing with Desron as part of Tom Marshall's 60th birthday party. I will be there. I can't wait to see you guys. And I'll also see you guys at the Ardmore Music Hall. I guess one thing I wanted to ask Ray and Russ, just because, man, and I hope it's okay to kind of ask this, but, you know, the past couple of years, you guys the Tab family has like gone through so much, and you know, based on the shows that I've seen and listened to, the sound and the vibe and everything is like stronger than ever. And I'm curious to hear how you guys have dealt with, you know, obviously the loss of Tony and then James, and also just, you know, keeping it pushing forward, because it doesn't seem like you guys have lost any momentum, but I assume there's a lot of emotion and a lot of, you know, behind the scenes stuff. How have you guys adapted to this kind of these changes over the past year and a half?
Boy, well, go ahead, Russ.
Whatever. Yeah. Well, Tony, I've known Tony since I was 22 years old. So it was a pretty tough, but, I mean, obviously when Trey asked me who I would like to get for bass or at least try it, I mentioned Desron for his playing and also his spirit, and we all knew him, so that helped a lot too, you know, him jumping in.
And yeah.
So that, you know, helped the pain a little bit. But and now James, which still dealing with that, but you know.
Yeah.
Gotta keep pushing forward, you know, at least we got each other too, you know. And the wonderful music and the music that I love playing with that band.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did but I guess it was it Sound on Sound? That was the first show that Tab did basically without, since James had passed. And
yeah,
I don't know, it was extremely emotional. Like every one of those songs, like you could hear how it was different because he wasn't, his energy and his sound wasn't there. And I had a hard time. I know Jen did too. Like just thinking about it now, kind of emotional. It's a lot. So
yeah.
I don't know. I really miss the guy, and Adam, you know, not sure what's going to happen. And Trey is he was so tore up about it. And
yeah,
you know, he's an irreplaceable spirit, you know? So what do you do? Sure.
Yeah. But it seems like, I guess just playing the music and communicating and, you know, kind of pushing forward through the music is what you guys have, done and all you can do in that situation. Thanks for sharing that, guys. I appreciate that. I think a lot of fans are, you know, just wondering how you guys have all adapted, because like I said, I think the music is as good as ever. So whatever you guys are doing to process is coming through strong in the music.
Yeah. I mean, it really is, you know, to celebrate, you know, someone's life who you love, like what better way than to make music, you know, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Well, thanks for sharing that. Let me get back to Scott. How have you, I just learned, like you mentioned kind of observing and jumping in with Russ and Ray in this project. What does this add for you as you're kind of, you know, you're obviously doing J-Rad dates all the time. You're doing other projects. I know you play a lot in New York. What does this project kind of bring for you musically, and how does it add to kind of what you do aside from LAMP?
Yeah, well, I've always loved organ trios, you know, drums, organ, guitar, all the like Jack McDuff records, you know, all the way from the Jack McDuff records to John Abercrombie made some records like that, who was a great jazz guitarist. And there's one of my favorites now is Larry Goldings and Peter Bernstein and Bill Stewart, which are all kind of in the jazz idiom, I guess. But I've just always loved that sound. You know, there's something very cool about organ drums and guitar, and it offers a lot of freedom. I love the fact that I don't do anything else that is so, has quite as much freedom, because there's only three of us. And if you get the right three guys or girls, you know, three people, and they're playing great and they're listening to each other,
yeah,
the possibilities as to where things can go, like very quickly, are really endless. And with a lot of the other things that I do, you know, like J-Rad's a big sound. There's a lot of sound coming off the stage, and everybody's really getting after it for 3 hours every night. And with this, I feel like there's more air in it, just by the fact that there's only three of us as opposed to five of us. So it just offers real. I've never really. I feel so excited about the band and the gigs coming up. I mean, I get a very specific sort of energy from this thing that I can't say I've ever had from another band.
Wow.
Which really makes it. You know, I mean, I'm really chomping at the bit over here to get going, because the gigs that we have done, every single one, we get to the end of the gig and I'm like, wow, that was like, that exceeded all my expectations. I don't know about these guys, but every night I'm like, man, that couldn't have gone better. I wouldn't change a thing. You know,
what Scott doesn't know is that Russ and I put crystal meth in his ginger ale at every show. So.
No wonder.
Whatever you're doing, keep doing it. It's okay. You know,
no wonder.
I feel the same way, man. I feel the same way. It's so great, man.
I wanted to ask you, Russ. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Russ.
I was going to say, even like from when we made the record, I think I probably said it before. We booked the studio, did what we said. Well, we should probably rehearse. So we rehearsed on a Monday or something. And I was nervous with going in because Ray and I always get together and, you know, work out some stuff and rehearse on Monday, Tuesday, and half a day Wednesday. We banged out that record, man. I was like, this is badass, man. Okay.
Yeah, gonna work. That's true. That was absolutely. And that's one of the only records I've ever made that I still, usually when I'm involved with a record, I listen to it obsessively up until the day, you know, and always like tweaking it and like trying to massage everything right into the sweet spot. And then once it comes out, I kind of don't ever want to hear it again, ever. And this is one of the only records I've ever made that I was just listening to it the other day. I put it on to check something on the arrangement. And I said, man, these guys sound awesome. This band is great. You know, it's really holding up.
I did the 6 test pressings. I just sat there on my coffee and threw them all pretty much in a row. And I was like, whoa. And just hearing it on the vinyl was like, right.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, right. Yeah, we're pressing vinyl on it now that we're hopefully going to have for the available at the gigs. It's going to be close with the pressing date and everything, but we're hustling to get it done.
That is awesome.
To have it at the merch table.
That is awesome. Well, I hope people get to check you guys out. Like I said, in the notes, I'll put the link to the Jambase article that has all the show dates. Ray and Russ, just because based on what I know about Scott, I'm sure that he would like to have some you know, praise heaped on him here in public. But you guys play with a lot of guitarists and you played with a lot of guitarists. What do you guys feel like Scott kind of contributes that's different or that's complementary to what you guys do? What just approach or sound or whatever you guys observe from where you sit?
Oh, I can answer that one. Scott has the way he plays and what he plays, like every note is so filled with conviction. It's an amazing thing. Like when Russ and I play with guitarists, you know, everyone has a different style, but you know, a lot of people play a lot of notes and a lot of chords and, you know, they're getting their thing out. And Scott, like, and when we play with guitarists and, you know, they're just going to sit in on a tune. They don't know the tune, which is fine. And I'll always say, you know, just on this, there's this one particular tune called Tiny Land. And I'll tell the guitarist, like, look, just one note at a time. Like, you're not allowed to play two notes together. And sometimes they get in, sometimes they don't, you know, and it's whatever it is. And it's fun, whatever happens. But Scott just like instantly like got it, you know, this idea of, I'm getting too complicated for my own good, but the way he plays, like I said, every note has this conviction. It's like, it's so beautiful and great. It's like he could just play one note and it's in the right place at the right time. And everything can sort of hang around that note for a minute. I don't know how to explain it, but it seems to me it works so well and sounds so great and makes me very happy.
I mean, it's the old put some air between the notes, you know, it's what happens between the notes, you know.
Yeah.
Try to approach that drums that way.
Yeah. I mean, the way you described it, that sounds great to me. And I totally agree. And I'm sorry, Scott, to make you uncomfortable here, but just wanted to, you know.
I'll take it. thanks, guys. It's like, and I totally agree with what they're saying too. You know, that's one of the things after the gigs, I really do feel like it's very like conversational things. Like everybody's kind of completing each other's phrases. I just feel like we hear music in the same way and everyone's contributing. Like even if it's a guitar solo or an organ solo, everyone's sort of adding these little afterthoughts to what's happening or contributing to what's happening to whoever is out front. And it becomes, you know, it just becomes very like a team effort. You know, everybody's rooting for each other. Everybody's, you know, we're kind of saying, hell yeah, after somebody plays something cool, but we're doing it with our instruments, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that. That's awesome. I'm so excited for you guys and can't wait to hear about how the shows go. Like I said, I'll be at the Ardmore show on November 10th and two nights at Nectar's, two nights in Portsmouth. There are 12 dates total in November and December. So good luck, guys. I can't wait to hear new music and can't wait to see you guys live. And thanks for taking time to update us on what's going on.
All right. My pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
See you guys soon.
See you out there.
Okay, take care. All right.
Osiris.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today, such as Liz Stokes of The Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, man, I gotta hear that. Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.